So God bless your wonderful hearts. Welcome to this special fellowship. It's June 18th, 2005, and this is a special fellowship in recognition of Father's Day. And of course, the greatest father in the whole world is the creator of the heavens and the world, our Heavenly Father, God. And we're His children. If we're born again of His Spirit, we have the privilege to be God's children. And today we're going to have the fellowship coordinators, four of them, share God's word in light of what they're thankful for to the Heavenly Father. Now, I know all of them are very thankful for many, many, many things. So I've asked them to pick one thing, mainly the one aspect of why they're thankful to the Heavenly Father or what they're thankful for to the Heavenly Father. So we're going to have four sharings today on that, okay? So we're going to get into the word here, and the first person that will be sharing God's word is Barney Barnhart. Is that right? Todd? Todd, you're sharing first, right?
I'm flexible, but I taught last week, so.
Yeah, okay, so. Todd Stork's going to be sharing with us.
Great. God bless you. Well, as Bob mentioned, the greatest thing we can be thankful for is certainly to our Heavenly Father. Absolutely. I've entitled my sharing this afternoon, Hindsight is 2020. And as Father's Day is upon us, as it is every year, I often think of my dad. His name was Marvin Alfred Stork. He passed away New Year's Eve over 15 years ago. But as a child and a young teenager, he taught me the value and the importance of work and to always do a good job, and that honesty is the best policy. And being very handy around the house, he showed me how to fix a lot of things. I knew he loved me, although I can't remember him ever saying that. Besides, you know, that's what parents are supposed to do, right? Love their kids. Sometimes I think of things that perhaps we should have did together, or perhaps some things that, you know, we could have did together. But I sure am glad he is born again. Today, I enjoy even a greater relationship with my Heavenly Father. He lights my path when it's dark. He guides my steps in everything that I do. He protects myself and my family from the things that can harm us. He gives me wisdom regarding things in which I have little or no knowledge of. He makes sure all things work out to the best for me and my family. He always makes sure I have all of my needs taken care of. He even blesses me with things that I don't even expect sometimes. He gives me confidence and strength and courage to tackle the things that seem impossible to me. I have taken worry, doubt, and fear completely out of my life, knowing that I can go to Him at any time, and He will hear my requests, and He'll show me what to do, and provide the means in which to do it, whatever it may be. Today, I'm looking forward to my Heavenly Father, who loves me so big, I can't fully understand it right now. I've chosen several verses that depict our relationship with our Heavenly Father. There's several of them here, so I'll go through them kind of quickly. Psalms 34, 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Isaiah 26, 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And also in Psalms 34, 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And here's one we can probably all relate to, many of us. Psalms 37, verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So those are some of the verses. I had to slim them down. Those are some of the verses that depict our relationship with God, the type of relationship we have as a son or daughter with God. And I thought, that's what I'm thankful for, to have this available to anyone who wants it. So that's what I wanted to share with you guys tonight. God bless you. And here's our own Reverend Warren Barnhart.
Great. God bless. I wanted to read, looks like Psalm 34 is going to be a popular place to go, but I've actually asked Nathan to play a song, but before I do that, I would like to read three verses with you. In Psalm 34, says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. If there's anything that probably I could sum up in one simple phrase, is I'm just so thankful that we do have the opportunity to praise and worship God perfectly, and that we can spend the days of our lives rejoicing in the fellowship that we have with God and then with each other in this wonderful body of Christ. So at this time, I'd like Nathan to play the song, and then we're going to let somebody else get up here, okay? God bless.
Thanks, Barney. Let's go to John chapter 3. When I think of the ultimate sacrifice that someone could give or do, not for just me, but for mankind, my mind always seems to come back to this section of God's word first. And in chapter 3 of John, in verse 15, it says that whosoever believeth in him, speaking of Jesus Christ, should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I just stand in awe of the commitment and the love that God had when, you know, he asked his Son to lay down his life for us. For God sent his Son, for God sent not his Son, excuse me, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, God's ultimate thing that he wanted for his people that he created to be saved, to have eternal life. But it wasn't automatic. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to create all these people and they're all going to get saved. Didn't work that way, you know. But he sure made it easy for us. He gave us a great, great, great example. A great Lord and a great Savior to believe in. So that we could obtain the ultimate gift, eternal life. And once we had that gift, that we could share it with others. And that's so beautiful. So I'm very grateful for that. And I'd like to go to 1 Thessalonians. Because not only do we have a knowledge of Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished for us and in us, but the thing that helps us sustain day by day when the going gets tough, and all of you have hard days, I'm sure, is the hope of the return. A great man of God said, you know, if you know and understand the hope of the return, you can stand for God a lifetime. Let's read chapter 4, verse 13 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Isn't that beautiful? For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. See, he's explaining the return here. He's explaining in a very, very loving way the hope. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, this is the word of God, folks. This is God's ultimate plan for mankind. And look at how he closes us out. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, I'm so grateful that God put this in the word. Because by knowing this and understanding this, we can all stand. That's what I want to share. Bob?
There was a time in my life that I didn't know God. Didn't know if he existed or if he did, what he was like. Had all kinds of ideas and heard a lot of different things as a young person growing up, exposed to different religions and ideas and thoughts. At 12 years of age, a burning question grabbed my heart and my life. And since that time, as I grew older, I sought answers to that burning question. And it was not until I was 20 years old that I got the answer that satisfied my heart. And it was through a class similar to the Walking in God's Power class that we have available today that I found the truth that there was truly a God who created the heavens and the earth, and that his heart's desire was to be a loving heavenly father to each and every one of his children. It is God's will, according to 1 Timothy 2:4, that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is what God desires. This is what he wants. And I'm very thankful this is God's heart's desire, to find this out, to know without a shadow of a doubt that I am his child forever, was the greatest thing that has touched my heart. And I've learned nothing greater since that time than the truth of God's word, that God is my heavenly Father and that I have eternal life with him. I'd like for you to turn to 1 John, if you would, please. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. From God's word, I learned how to be saved, born again, by confessing Jesus as Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead. I learned from God's word that I am a son of God with all power, that I have a relationship with my loving heavenly Father. And the one thing I sought in my heart as a young person, that I would have the assurance without a shadow of a doubt that I had eternal life, that I had a relationship with the true God. And God has provided to all men who will go to his word with meekness that they can have a great assurance in the depth of their heart that they are born again of God's Spirit, that they have eternal life and a relationship with God forever. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. How can we know that we dwell in him, dwell in God, and he in us? How can we know this great reality? Because the Spirit dwelleth in us. Well, how do I know the Spirit dwells in me? Well, there are 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. 9 manifestations, evidence of the gift of Holy Spirit within. If I operated one of those manifestations, do I know I have the Spirit within? Yes. I sure do. Nothing greater that I have ever known in my life is the assurance that I have eternal life, that I've got Christ within, that I have him in me and me in him. And that is speaking in tongues. That I could operate one of the manifestations, I can operate potentially all 9 manifestations, but the one manifestation that God has designed man to operate and to know and have assurance that he has eternal life is speaking in tongues. Because if you can speak in tongues, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you've got Holy Spirit within. There's a man by the name of Cornelius in the book of Acts. You don't really need to turn there. I think you know this. I'll quote a couple of the verses from there. He was a Gentile, and Peter, through God, ministered to Cornelius God's word to the point that he could get born again. Peter didn't want to do it at first, did he? No way did he want Gentiles involved. God had never had a relationship with Gentiles, only the children of Israel. Why would he want to have a relationship with those dirty old dogs, the Gentiles? And yet God wanted him to minister to Cornelius, this Gentile. And he did, because he wanted to follow God. He did what God told him. And the one thing that assured Peter that this Gentile Cornelius and his family was born again of God's Spirit was that he operated the manifestation. In Acts chapter 10, 45 and 46, it says that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. That's how Peter knew, because they spoke in tongues and magnified God. When you speak in tongues, you magnify God. The greatest sounds I ever heard was when I first spoke in tongues, because I knew through a knowledge of God's word that when I did, I had the assurance that I was born again of God's Spirit, that I have eternal life. Look at chapter 5 of 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God, 5:11, for this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Pretty simple. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know, not guess, speculate, but that you know that you have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And then in verse 20, it says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him, that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is why I'm very thankful to the Heavenly Father that I have the assurance of eternal life. That God would desire for me to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So I'm real thankful to our Heavenly Father for this great reality and all the other ones that we've heard today and many that, you know, wasn't shared today. We have so many things to be thankful for. You know, and every day should be a day with our Father, our loving Heavenly Father. And I know some of us might not even know who our Father is. Or maybe we didn't have a good father. Maybe we did. But the truth of the matter is today we have a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father who has provided eternal life and so many other wonderful things. So you and I in the body of Christ have the privilege to fellowship with God Almighty as children. And then we get to fellowship together until that time comes when Christ comes back, as we read, and gathers us together to be ever with the Lord. And what a comfort that is. What a great comfort that is. Christianity is not a religion, is it? As O.E.W. Kenyon said, it's a relationship with the Heavenly Father. So I trust that we can remember that. And that we can walk with great assurance in our life, knowing that we're sons of God each and every day. Never forgetting that at any moment Christ can come back. And that every moment of the day we can fellowship with him. That's true life. That's where life is at. Anything else just doesn't hack it. The things of God are what true. So I'm glad we can continue to learn these things, because I know it's a battle out there in the world that we live in. And I'm thankful for the fellowship coordinators that shared God's word, for them hosting home family fellowships and what they do to move God's word and to help God's people. And I trust as we continue to stand faithful that we can continue to see our fellowships grow and grow and grow. I'm sure there's many other people that would want to know the great things that we've heard today and the many other things that we know. So I trust that we can be faithful sons of God and move forward with the things of God. Okay? So I'd like to close with prayer. And then we're going to kind of break things down. And I think most of you know what we do here. We bring out some card tables and stuff. And we've got tablecloths. And I hear we got some real nice centerpieces. And we'll set up. And we're going to have a Mexican dinner tonight, I guess. So that'll be great, to appropriate here, I think, in San Diego to have that. And so we'll have that to enjoy. So Heavenly Father, real thankful and grateful that we can be born again of your Spirit, that we can have the assurance of who we are and who you are, that we can know you, Father, that we can continue to have that relationship with you, and that we can walk and talk with you each and every day of our life until Christ does come back. So thank you for being a loving Heavenly Father, and for your people here, for working within their hearts so that they can see you bigger and richer than ever before. And for these great realities, Father, we're very grateful and thankful. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what we need to do is close.